Now, lads, here's a question for you. What in your life is closed, contrary to God's will, and needs to be opened? What is in your life right now that is closed, which is contrary to God's will, and needs to be opened? Are there people in your life who are closed who need to be opened? Are there doors in your life that are closed that need to be opened? Are there circumstances right now in your life that feel closed that need to be opened? Because I believe in the God of the Bible. I believe in Jesus, and he is the one who opens doors that no man can shut. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He opened the Red Sea. Amen?
Amen.
He opened the River Jordan.
Amen.
He opened the gates of Jericho.
Amen.
He opened the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. He opened the tongue of the loose. He opened the hearts of kings. He opened the minds and hearts and souls of men. He opened the wombs of women. And he opens the windows of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He not only opened all those things, but he also opens the grave. He opens the tomb. He opens the prison door and sets the captives free. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's the one we're looking at and we're talking about today. I want to look at Mark's gospel today because I want you to keep before your mind while I'm speaking that situation in your life which is closed, which needs to be opened by God. That area in your life that contrary to God's will right now is closed. Maybe it's a relationship is closed. Maybe it's the heart of someone you love is closed. Maybe the mind of someone you love is closed. But it needs to be opened in Jesus' name. I'm looking at Mark's Gospel chapter 7 verses 31 to 37, just 6 short verses. Last week when I was talking, or sorry, the week before last when I was speaking, I was talking about a woman who was excluded from the people of Israel because of her ethnicity and the historical religion of her people. She was a Canaanite woman. And yet she came to Jesus and got what she needed. She was isolated. She was separated. Today we're talking about a man who was isolated and separated for a very different reason. He was excluded and he was isolated as a result of his disability. He was cut off from regular society because this man couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. Therefore, he couldn't engage in modern day society or in the modern day society of his time. It's different now. Thankfully, technology has changed. But then it meant an isolation if you couldn't hear and you couldn't speak. And so we're going to be looking at this man today and how this man came into the company and the presence of Jesus and how his life was transformed. Will you pray with me before we begin? Even right where you are, let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father in heaven, we come before you today and we ask you that you would speak to us as we listen to your word. May we have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us today. May we have minds to understand what it is you want to do in our lives. May we have souls and hearts that rise up to you in prayer and in praise and in thanksgiving. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
God's people say,
amen.
Let's dive in. We're going to be looking at Jesus coming up close and personal. Jesus left the area of Tyre and Sidon, where I was speaking about Sunday before last, before going back to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Ten Tongues. In the original Greek it said the Decapolis, which means the area of Ten Tongues. The thing about the area of the Ten Tongues is that it was an overwhelmingly Gentile or non-Jewish area. There were very few Jews living in this area. And in all likely, the situation we're about to hear about now was a man who was not a Jew, and the people who came with him probably weren't Jews. And so Jesus comes back and he's ministering among these people. He has always been willing to and eager to minister to those who have ears to hear. Have you got ears to hear today? Have you got ears to hear and a heart to understand today? Here's the quote. It says, a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man and heal him. So this man doesn't come of his own volition. He's brought to Jesus. He probably hasn't even heard about Jesus, but they have heard about Jesus. You see, there's people in your life, they haven't heard about Jesus, but you've heard about Jesus. Yeah. Maybe you need to bring people to Jesus who haven't heard about Jesus. Maybe they can't hear about Jesus. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But they bring this man to Jesus, and the people beg Jesus to lay his hands on the man and to heal him. Who in your life are you willing to beg the movement of Jesus in their lives? Who in your life are you willing to fast for? Who in your life are you willing to stay up all night and pray for? Who in your life are you willing to hold before God in your heart and in your prayers and in your minds day after day? I ask you that because it's a challenge. Our lives are not just about our own experiences. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's not just about you. I said it a couple of weeks ago. Somebody in my family reported to me and said to me, you know, Dad, I noticed something. Many of my prayers have been answered, but really it's the prayers that I pray for other people. They're the ones that seem to get heard more. Hallelujah. Doesn't that feel about right when you really think about the kingdom? Doesn't that feel about right? The deaf man with the speech impediment was brought to him. And this speech impediment, we would translate as being dumb. He wasn't able to speak. The word that's used there is the word megalion. And the word megalion is only used one more time in the Bible. And that is in the ancient Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And it's in Isaiah 35. And we look at that in a little bit. But they bring this man to Jesus and they beg him to lay his hands on him and to heal him. And it goes on to say this. Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. You will not experience hearing the voice or the encounter with Jesus that your heart longs for unless you get away from the crowd. Yeah. It's wonderful to gather with God's people and worship. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But we also need to get away from the crowd. We need to get away from the long list of demands, the crowd of demands, the crowd of distractions that come on our lives. We have to get away from those. Sometimes we have to remove ourselves from those to be alone with Jesus. Do you make room in your life to be alone with Jesus? To listen to his word, he listen for his voice and bring your requests before him. Do you have room in your heart? Do you have room in your life to make this happen? This man's encounter happens because Jesus leads him away and they are alone. Get away from the distractions. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Remove yourself from all the things that will distract you and spend time with God. If you need to hear his voice, God will speak to you. You have my word in it. He's always speaking. He put his fingers into the man's ears and then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Now, could I get a volunteer for a second? Just want to demonstrate. Just for a quick demonstration. Anyone? Anyone at all?
No.
You see, we recoil at how up close and personal this is. We recoil at the sense that he did what? He spat on his fingers and put them on the man's tongue? He stuck his fingers in his ears? What kind of weirdness is this? Like, he actually put some of his spit into the man's mouth? Oh, man, that's awful. Have you ever kissed your wife?
Yes.
Have any of the men here kissed their wives? Are their girlfriends? Do you know what you exchange when you kiss? Just saying. Be careful, don't kiss too many because you'll exchange things you don't want to be exchanging. Trust me on that one. You see, we recoil at this idea. We recoil at body odor. We recoil at the notion that somebody has smelly feet. We recoil, but this was so visceral. It was so real. Why? Because this man couldn't hear Jesus' voice. And so he broke through and met him where he was at. He touched him on the tongue that couldn't speak and put his fingers in his ears that couldn't hear. That's why he connected with him so viscerally and so physically. He could have just said a word and that would have been it. But that's not what he did. He needed to get through to this man. He needed to touch him. And sometimes words, in some senses, aren't enough. Sometimes something has to happen in our lives that changes the trajectory of our lives. Sometimes God has to move in our lives in unusual ways. Is your mind and heart open to God moving in unusual ways in your life?
Yes.
You see, this is very unusual. Why would Jesus spit on his fingers, put them in the man's mouth, and stick his fingers in his ears. You see, if you were to start a ministry called Spitting and Mud Ministries, not very many people would come for prayer. They wouldn't. You wouldn't exactly have a queue at the door. So today, Tom is going to be anointing people here, and Michael's going to be spitting into their mouths over here. But why did he do this? Do you know why? Because we would not learn that there is some method or formula that brings healing. Yes. There is no faith formula. There is no way that if you jump down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton, that's just not going to work for you. I was saying to the guys in the 10 a.m. service, I remember years ago reading in the newspaper, in the personal column, people would publish prayers, specific prayers. And I remember reading this prayer, which was for healing of epilepsy. These are people who are deeply committed Catholics who are putting in prayers into the newspaper. And the prayer said, on Monday, you pray 10 Hail Marys. On Tuesday, you pray another 10 Hail Marys. On Wednesday, you bless yourself 9 times and pray only 1 Hail Mary. And it goes through the whole week. And by the end of it, you're going to be healed of epilepsy. It was nonsense. It was just a formula. If anybody presents to you a formula that will guarantee you being healed by doing this or doing that or going up that mountain or to the bottom of that sea or over to that well, ignore it. You don't need to fly across the world and exercise some faith form to be healed. Jesus can heal you right in your seat this morning. Amen. Right where you are this morning. Here and now he can heal you. There isn't a formula. And that's why Jesus always did different things. He spoke in some situations, touched in other situations, spoke from a long distance away in other situations. In other situations, the hem of his garment was just touched. Why? So that there wouldn't be some system or method. It is faith in Christ alone that brings healing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And then it goes on to say this. It says, looking up to heaven, he sighed. And said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And instantly, the man could hear perfectly. His tongue was freed. So he could speak plainly. Instantly. I love the start of this when it says that Jesus sighed. He looked up to heaven. Estenaxen is the word that's used there. It simply means to breathe out or to groan is another good translation for it. What in your life makes you sigh? What do you sigh about? Because there are things in my life that I sigh about. Sometimes I do it totally unconsciously. A thought will come into my head and I'll sigh. But let me tell you something about a sigh. You see that sigh? That sigh can be turned into a prayer. That sigh can be a prayer. In actual fact, that sigh is probably more honest and more real a prayer than I would ever pray in all of my eloquent word choosing. It's a more pure prayer because it is an honest prayer. Keep it honest, keep it simple, and keep it up is the advice of Philip Yancey to those who are praying. Keep it honest. And if all you have to offer in your prayer is, oh Lord, that's a prayer. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And then he spoke to him the word, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And he uses this one word. And it was quite common for healers in that time, even now, to use magical incantations, special words that would be spoken. Watch Harry Potter. I could quote a couple, but I don't want to offend you. But there's a couple of these wishes and spells that people cast with their wands, and they all mean absolutely nothing. And in this case, he uses this word, Ephphatha, and like Mark then says, which means be opened. You see, because Mark wants us to understand or hear the colour of the language into which Jesus spoke. A little bit earlier, I spoke about it a few weeks ago, Jesus went to the room of the dead girl and he put his hand in her and he said, Talita kum, little girl, I say to you, get up. Or little girl, come. That's literally what it means. Or in this case, he says, Ephphatha, which means be opened. It's what Larry Hurtado, the Bible commentator says, is the use of language colour. You know, has anybody ever here seen a mafia movie or a gangster movie?
I wouldn't admit to it.
That's okay. None of you have ever seen one. So let me tell you what happens in gangster movies, okay? So the gangster boss, normally known as maybe the godfather. And some guy comes in and says, hey Guido, I got a problem with the neighbors. They're coming to me and they're making a mess of my house. I don't know what to do. And then the godfather looks at him and he says, I'd like to help you out. No problem, Luigi. And then he turns to his friend and he speaks to him in Italian. Loose translation, what kind of a schmaluk is this guy coming to us with this problem? And then he says, don't you worry about Luigi. We're going to take care of him. You know what I'm saying? And if you were in that room, you don't know what they said in Italian, but boy, you know the implication of it. You know that Luigi better look over his shoulder, you know what I'm saying? And that's an example of it here. He's literally saying, be opened. It's not a complicated word, it's a simple word. And the beauty of this is that it's the recorded testimony of Peter that we read in Mark's Gospel, my apologies. And so it is Peter who's recording and remembering that Jesus used this beautiful Aramaic word. The man could instantly, he could hear perfectly and his tongue was freed and he could speak plainly. Let me come to that in a second. Let me come back for a second to the size. You know, sometimes our prayers are so much more than words. And I'm not just the one who's saying it. Paul, the writer of the book of Romans in particular here in the New Testament, uses the phrase twice in Romans chapter 28. He uses the word stenazo. It's the same word as extenazin, same root, same word, which literally means to breathe, to sigh, or to groan. Here's what he says. He says, we believers also groan. Why? Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We groan, oh Lord, how long, oh Lord, will you forget me forever, said the psalmist. Oh Lord. And I love it, because Jesus didn't have sin and suffering in the sense that we have sin or suffering caused by sin in his life. He had suffering, but not caused by sin. It says some of the commentators believe that when he sighed, he felt the burden of the man's suffering. He feels your burden too. He feels your burden, brothers and sisters. He feels your burden. If it's weighing you down, if it's wearing you out, he knows. He has compassion on your situation. Paul goes on to say a little bit further in 26. He says this, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Can I get an amen? Yeah. You feel weak, the Holy Spirit will help you. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Words don't always say everything. Sometimes it's just a moan, a groan from the heart. Sometimes I sigh. Does anybody here ever sigh when you look at a situation in your life? Will you put your hand up if you sigh when you experience a situation in your life? I sigh. My own wife says to me sometimes, what are you sighing for? I just have stuff on my mind, Els. That's all, stuff on my mind, stuff on my heart. Those sighs are prayers. Can I get an amen? Don't worry. Go into your Father's presence. As Jesus said, go and see him who is in secret, and he who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus then spoke the word Ephphatha. Ephphatha. One word, no magic formula, no jump down, turn around, nothing amazing, just one word. You know, his word, and the commentators say that the reason why Jesus used one word was to display that his word was the word in this man's life. Do you know something? His word should be, could be, and will be the word in your life. In your situation, whatever door that you face, whatever situation you face is closed, his word will be the final word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
His word is powerful. Here's what the writer of the Hebrews says. The Son reflects the glory of God and shows exactly what God is like. He holds everything together with his powerful word. That's what he holds everything together with. With his word. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, says, in him all things hold together. Everything is held together. Sorry, it's Colossians. In him all things hold together. So every proton, every neutron circulating around every atom in every corner of the universe is held together by his word. Amen. His word is powerful. And when it speaks into our lives, it transforms our experience. It changes our minds. It changes our hearts. It changes our circumstances. It changes our situations. When he speaks his word, I like this. I do not deserve that you come under my roof, the centurion said. I don't have you to deserve to come under my roof, Lord, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed.
Amen.
God's word is speaking. Are you listening? Can you hear? Are your ears open? Is your heart open? Is your mind open to God's word? When Jesus tells the story in Matthew chapter 13 of the parable of the sower, his disciples ask him afterwards, like, Lord, why are you always telling us stories? Why don't you just tell us plain out? Why don't you just communicate with us? And Jesus took his disciples aside and he said this. He said, that is why I use parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. They don't listen or understand. They hear it, yeah, but it doesn't get through. It doesn't get through to their hearts and it doesn't get through to their minds. They hear it well enough, yeah, they hear it, but it doesn't get through. You know, it's like when you communicate to people and you know that they hear you, but they kind of pretend not to hear you. You know that kind of one? You know, like if anybody here has young children, you know how to make them silent. Ask them, who made this mess? They pretend not to hear you. They hear, but they're not listening. And I gotta tell you, there's been plenty of times in my life when I heard, but boy, I didn't listen. I heard my dad lecture me about what it means to be a man and be a parent and to take care of a home. I heard him, but I didn't listen. You know, there's an old Irish saying, it says, by the time a man realizes his father was right, he probably has a son who thinks that he's wrong. It's true. Oh, Conor Donovan, my father, I heard, but I didn't listen. I had to learn the hard way. Oh, brothers and sisters, wounds and hurts are a hard way to learn. Listen to what God says to you. Listen to what he says. Jesus goes on to say this. He says, but blessed are your ears because they hear. Blessed are your eyes because, blessed are your ears because they hear. What he says next is actually quite groan shattering. He says, I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and to hear, they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. And he's speaking to them, and he's speaking to us. The prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, all of these prophets, they listened, or they wanted to see the days when the disciples are here. They wanted to see what you see. They wanted to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. So this morning, if you hear God's word and you see him at work, you are blessed more than the prophets. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You're blessed more than the prophets. But you see, we have to have ears to hear. Jesus said it so many times. Let him who has ears hear. It's repeated again in the book of Revelation that him who has ears hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's repeated many times in the early chapters of the book of Revelation. Have you got ears to hear? You see, if you look at the parable of the sower, and I don't have time to look at it in detail, in essence, there are three categories of people in the parable of the sower who don't hear or can't hear. They are in this way. First of all, there are those who can't hear. Some people can't hear God. They can't hear his encouraging words. Some people can't hear because of the emotional baggage, the psychological issues that they have in their own minds, or because of spiritual blindness or darkness that has been brought into their lives, not necessarily by their own hands. Some people literally can't hear. It's like a child who has maybe is struggling with self-esteem or self-worth issues, and no matter how many times you tell them that they're good and they're strong and they're fast and they're hardworking, they can't hear it. Because they're broken. They can't hear. Because they're hurt. How many people hear? Your Father in heaven loves you, and he is for you and not against you. How many people hear that and go, yes, and 5 minutes later they doubt it all again? Why? Because they can't hear it. Because it doesn't match up with their lived experience. If you have a choice between your lived experience and the Word of God, trust me, the Word of God is the sounder plank to walk on. It's a sounder experience to walk on. There are those who can't hear. Can you hear this morning? Then there are those who don't hear. They don't hear because they're too busy with their own lives. They've got their own priorities. They've got their own plans. They've got their own projects. They're working away at building their own lives. They're building their careers, building their homes, chasing their dreams, going after their hobbies, working on their talents, building a house, doing whatever it is, and some of the stuff is good, but they're just too busy going on, and they just don't hear. Sometimes life is so good, people just don't hear. They don't hear what God has to say to them. Then, of course, there are those who won't hear. But they hear well enough. They can hear the words. They know what God's word says to their lives. But they don't want to put themselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. They don't want to put themselves under the command of the captain of the whole of the Lord's army. They don't want to give their lives and pay the price that it means to follow Jesus. They think it's going to be all burden and all hassle. How many people have said to me over the years, oh, Christians, they can't do anything. They're so restricted. What nonsense. The Christians I know are the freest people in the world. Amen. They're the happiest people I know because they know that God has got this. They know that in their hearts and in their souls. And people say, I don't want to hear about it. No. They just will not hear because they love themselves and they love their lives too much to surrender. If only they knew the Jesus who says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If only they knew that Jesus, then they would hear, then they would listen. So are you in this category today? Is God speaking to you today about a situation that is closed, contrary to God's will, and needs to be opened? Is God speaking to your heart and your mind and your situation about people in your lives who are closed and need to be opened? Relationships that are closed and need to be opened. Let me say this to you. It's recorded several times in the scripture. It's the way God highlights. This is what he says. He says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. When you hear his voice, when you hear that he is the provider, don't harden your heart. Take it in. When you hear that he's the protector, don't harden your heart. Take it in. When you hear that he is the peace giver, don't harden your heart. Take it in. When you hear the voice of God, take it in. Don't let bad experiences in life, don't let bad opinions cause you to harden your heart. Keep your heart soft before God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Don't. And it's there. It's in Hebrews 3:7. And then in there should be 17, 3:7, 3:17, 3:15. And then in Hebrews 4, verse 7, it's in Psalm 95, verse 17. It's repeated several times. Why? Because God knows what it's like that people harden their hearts even after they hear his voice. Even after they hear his voice, people harden their hearts. Can't accept it. They can't accept it. You see, when Jesus lays hands on this man, he is bringing something very unique to the call of Messiah. When Jesus lays his hands on this man who was mute or who had a severe speech impediment because of his deafness, he is carrying. Remember, he said to you this word that spoke of speech. The man had a speech impediment. The word is mogalion. It's only used once more in the entire Bible, and it's in the Greek translation, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's there in Isaiah chapter 35. Here's what it says: when he comes, the Messiah, he will open the eyes of the blind. He will unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Hallelujah. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. Do you have wasteland that needs to be watered? Are you dry and parched today? Let the Holy Spirit move in your life. Let him bring those springs to burst out in your life. If you have ears to hear what's closed, let it be open. Let me return one last time back to Mark's gospel. Just two more verses before we're done. Here's what it says. It says, When Jesus interrupted the silence, here's what it says. It says, Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the good news. Yeah. And he told them, don't be telling anybody about this now, lads. In front of a big crowd. Imagine that. I mean, it definitely didn't happen in Ireland, didn't it? I can tell you that. In front of this big crowd, he said, don't tell anyone about this. But the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. It just carried on. Was Jesus playing a game of reverse psychology? Did he really want the news to get out, but he was kind of pretending he didn't? No, his time hadn't yet come, and he didn't want to come to the major public attention that would come about the culmination of the events of his life at his death and resurrection in Jerusalem sometime later. He told them not to say anything, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. Contrast with now, when we are told to tell everyone, and we tell no one. I've come to bring you good news. What is it? I'll get back to you on it later. And that's what it is. We become stone. We become silent. We become tongue-tied. Has that ever happened to you? Somebody wants to know, what kind of church do you go to? Or what do you believe? Jesus loves you. You see, we don't have to have a 5-point formula. You don't have to know it all or a degree in theology. You just got to tell them about what Jesus is like and what Jesus has done in your life. Just tell them what you've seen and what you've heard about Jesus. Trust me, it'll be more effective than you knowing the 1517 Augsburg Confession, whatever that is. You won't even have to know it. You don't need to know all that stuff. Just tell them about what Jesus has done in your life. And do yourself a favor. Invite them to church and tell them what Jesus is doing in your church. Amen. Because that's where they'll meet the Lord. That's where they'll meet him. Speak up. Because it goes on to say this about the crowd. Oh no, we jumped forward, lads. Can we come back to my last verse? It comes back to my last verse. It says this. It says that they said again and again and again. This is what they said. They said they were completely amazed and said again and again, everything he does is wonderful.
Amen.
And everything he does in your life is wonderful. The doors he opens are wonderful. The provision that he brings is wonderful. The changes in your heart and your life, they are wonderful. What he does in your home, in your job, and in your marriage, it is wonderful. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak. Who can't speak. He gives them speech. He lets them speak. Lads, maybe the guys will come up. We're going to lead in worship. We're going to pray in just a second. You see, the last verse of Psalm 50, the last verse of Psalm 50 says this. He says, he who prepares a thank offering or gives an offering of thanks honors me and opens the way for the salvation of God. So simply by acknowledging what God has done in your life, in your home, in your family, in your workplace, and just by acknowledging what God has done, not just by simply giving an offhand thank God, because every Irish person says that, even if they don't believe in anything, thank God, but by actually giving thanks to God, by articulating what God is doing in your life and saying about how everything he does is wonderful, that will affect people's lives. That will get them interested. Then they will want to know. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now let me ask you again. What in your life needs to be opened? What relationship needs to be opened? What heart, what mind needs to be opened? What circumstance in your life needs to be opened? We're going to bring that situation before the Lord. Will you stand with me? Will you raise your hand? Will you just stand with me? We're going to sing. We're going to sing that beautiful song we make. We're going to come to it in 1 second. If you're here this morning, can you close your eyes just for a moment? Close your eyes in the room. If you're here this morning and you know that there's a situation in your life, a person, a circumstance, a thing in your life that is closed, that is contrary to God's will, and you want it to be opened, will you raise your hand wherever you are inside this hall? Will you raise your hand wherever you are inside this hall? You know that this area is closed. A longing, a person, a circumstance, we're going to bring it before the Lord. I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to pray here at the front. And the only reason I'm going to ask you to come forward is this. Because as we step forward, we are taking steps of faith. We are saying by stepping forward, we know that God can move and can do in this situation what I am not capable of doing. So the guys are going to lead us in Waymaker. And I'm going to ask you to come forward and we'll pray together here at the front of the room. Stephen.
Because you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 'Cause you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Circumstance, that door that is closed, that provision that is closed, that longing of the heart that is closed, will you bring that before the Lord as well and raise your hands before God? Hallelujah. Lord, I remember today, as I said at the start, Lord, you're the one who made the way and opened the Red Sea, a whole ocean blocked your people from going forward, but you were having none of it. You said, be opened, and the sea was opened. Hallelujah. Lord, you opened prison doors. For those this morning we're praying for who are struggling with addictions or habits that are ruining their lives, Lord, we pray today for those prison doors and say, be opened in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Lord, I pray for those this morning, very specifically, for those who are praying to have a child. I said it earlier, there are too many accounts. You open the wombs of women, Lord. I pray, Lord, if there's a closed womb in this hall, in this building today, you would open it and fulfill a longing in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. For those, Lord, who are lacking financially, they just seem to continually beat up against the same problem, the same wall, the same circumstance, time after time. Lord Jesus, I pray, would you open the windows of heaven upon these lives, upon these souls, Lord. Open the windows of heaven. Lord, for those who are looking for a career, Lord, for those who are looking for a job, those who are trying to move house and it's just not working for them, those who are trying to buy a house and it's just not happening for them, Lord, would you open doors no man can shut in Jesus' name. But our deepest longing, Lord, is for those that we love and long for, whose hearts are away from you, Lord, whose lives are away from you, Lord. You know them, Lord. They are daughters and sons, their cousins and friends and workmates, their parents, their grandparents, whose hearts and minds are closed, today, Lord, we want to pray. Be opened in Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to ask you to do something really simple, just as a symbol of our desire to pray. I'm going to ask you, would you put your hands over your ears as though you were blocking the sound going into your ears? Put your hands over your ears. This is just pure symbolism. It's nothing other than that. It's not a magic formula. It's not a trick. It's just as a reminder. Put your hands over your ears. Like this poor deaf man, only Jesus could open his ears. Only Jesus can open these doors. Only Jesus can open these hearts. Only Jesus can open this way before you. So what I'm going to do is, on the count of three, I'm going to say the Aramaic word, Ephata. And then together we're going to say, be opened. Is that okay? We speak by faith this morning about those hearts, minds, circumstances and situations that are closed contrary to your will. Oh Lord. One, two, three. Ephata, be opened. Can we pray with a little bit more faith and a little bit more determination? Can we pray it and declare it as though, do you know what? God does have the power to open this way. God does have the power to open this heart. Let's try it again. Let's raise our voices, raise our souls before God. Hand over ears on the count of three. One, two, three. Ephata, be open. Yes, Lord, that is our prayer today. Be opened, Lord. Let the way open before us as we head to our homes today, Lord. Let the hearts be open to us as we speak your word tomorrow. Lord, let the souls be open to us as we tell people again and again and again that everything you do is wonderful, Lord. And I pray that from today, Lord, we will have testimonies of how you open what no man can shut, Lord. I pray, Lord, we will have testimonies of how people heard Ephata, Lord. They heard be opened in their own souls, Lord. I pray we will see you at work in our lives every day this week. In Jesus' mighty name, and God's people say, Amen. Amen.